Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interview with the candidates. These interviews are provided as a service to those who want to be informed and educated voters. Venango County Tea Party Patriots is an affiliate of the National Tea Party Patriots, a grassroots organization of voters interested in protecting our Constitution and keeping elected officials accountable to their oath of office. Local meetings are held on the fourth Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. unless otherwise noted in the newspaper or on our email list. If you consider yourself a patriot and would like to be a part of this group, you can email Jane at vcTPP.org. That's Jane at vcTPP.org or call 814-671-7110. That's 814-671-7110. And now to our interview. Thank you for being with us today, Paul Mango. We're glad to have you on our program.
Well, thank you for having me, Jane. Delighted to be on it.
We'd like to get to know you with a few questions. So if you would tell us a little bit about why you think you are qualified to be governor of Pennsylvania and why you would want the job.
Yeah, so let me start with why I'm qualified. I tell people that there are literally over 1,000 years of political experience in Harrisburg today, but there aren't 2 days of what I call executive leadership. And I think this election is really about executive leadership, and we're not getting any of that from Governor Tom Wolf. I've spent my life as an executive in business and as an officer in the military, and I've been working for 25 years with some of the most respected chief executives in the world. And I know what good leadership is and looks like, and we're not getting it in Pennsylvania. In terms of my qualifications, as I said, I'm a West Point graduate. I served as a field artillery officer in the 82nd Airborne Division, led soldiers for 5 years, both here in the United States and over in Germany. I'm the only veteran, by the way, that's in the race for governor in Pennsylvania. I have a master's in business administration from Harvard University that I got in 1988 before coming to Pittsburgh, where I've been for about 30 years. And I spent my career, as I said, building a global healthcare business. I'm a healthcare executive. Spent a good deal of my time building a big $500 million global healthcare business, but also working with very large organizations, multi-billion-dollar organizations that required positive change, and they didn't know how to do it. And so we often work side by side with senior executives to bring positive change to organizations that have lost ways with their customers or they have become too culturally restricted to change. So if you think about the combination of military experience, leading soldiers, business degree, the only person in the history of the Commonwealth who has a MBA from Harvard who's run for governor, and then the business experience of bringing change to large organizations, I believe those are the skills and capabilities that we need in Harrisburg today and that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just summarize or add one other thing. I'm the father of five daughters and the husband of a woman for almost 36 years. So I also understand the aspirations of our young children here in Pennsylvania and how we can fill them through better leadership.
Okay, very good. We, as the Tea Party, have three core principles, and they are constitutionally limited government, free market economics, and fiscal responsibility. How do you line up with these principles?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm completely aligned, but I would add one, and that is individual responsibility as well.
Mm,
individual responsibility and accountability, because we've lost a lot of that. And, you know, Jane, I've spent a lot of time listening to Pennsylvanians over the last 15 months, and we crafted a very detailed vision and plan for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's the people's plan. I just put it together based on their input. And I think if your listeners go and get that off of our website, it's www.mangoforpa.com, and the plan's called Restore the Dream. They'll see that they're, you know, free enterprise, limited government, fiscal accountability is written all throughout that in many, many different ways. And so we're big, big believers in everything the Tea Party stands for, and we think those are core principles that will permit our constitutional republic to continue to thrive, and we need to get back to them because we've lost a good deal of what we all stand for here.
Okay, well, great. What plans do you have for Pennsylvania in cutting wasteful spending and reducing taxes?
Yeah. So in our plan, you'll see the two most egregious taxes that we talk about cutting. And again, you'll see that in our Restore the Dream is property taxes as well as business taxes. We have the highest corporate state tax rate in the country, effectively. It's 10%. We are way out of line on property taxes. Those are the two that are most restricting our economic growth. We have actually a pretty competitive personal income tax rate, which is 3.07. So we're going to focus on the things that are way out of line. In terms of cutting expenses, there are two or three things that need a lot of attention. Not many people are talking about the first one, but I'm most concerned about Medicaid. We, through Governor Wolf, have expanded Medicaid to 800,000 additional Pennsylvanians. Many of them are healthy young adults. We have not yet started paying for that expansion. We will this year. It's going to cost us eventually in 2-3 years an extra $500 million. And that's before we count the growth in expenses in Medicaid, which will be, again, another several hundred million dollars a year. So we have to get Medicaid under control from a cost perspective. We clearly have to address the administrative inefficiencies in Harrisburg, which I consider an early 20th century relic of government. It's a bureaucracy that is highly centralized, standardized, impersonal, and bureaucratic. Mm-hmm. And we need to, there's all types of ways that we can eliminate activities at the state level and depend more upon what's happening in our counties and our townships and our cities, where there's a lot of redundancy with what the state is trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then third, our pensions. The legislature made a very good start at addressing our pensions last year, but we're nowhere close to having addressed the unfunded liability of our pensions, which is in the $70 billion range. So those would be the three things. Medicaid, really transform it through waivers to the government. The administrative cost of government through greater integration with our counties and municipalities and eliminating redundant activities. And then, as I said, pension. Those would be my top three priorities. But, Jane, I always add at the end when someone asks me about our budget and meeting our budget needs, we cannot sustain our obligations financially unless we grow the economy. Mm-hmm. And no one else is talking about growth. But I think that'll be the key to our long-term ability to hold taxes down. So I'm very intent on growing the Pennsylvania economy.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. Now, we know that some of that hindrance is in regulations that are in place. And are there any regulations that you feel have been a hindrance to the economic development of Pennsylvania, and will you work to get rid of them?
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, Jane. It's very much centered on two or three departments in Harrisburg, the Department of Environmental Protection, PennDOT, and Department of Labor and Industry. Those are the three that are most inhibiting our business leaders and our job creators. And it's interesting, it's not as much the regulations themselves as it is the timing to get a permit and the attitude. So I've talked to a lot of business leaders who say, I understand why I have to submit paperwork to get a permit, and I'm not against that. But what I'm against is I have to wait 9 or 10 or 12 months when I've submitted a proper application for it, and they're way too slow, and time equals money in business. And some have even said, I'll pay more for that permit if I could get it in 30 days. I'd pay a lot more for it if I could get it in 30 days. So the first thing I would work on, Jane, is the turnaround time of properly submitted applications, which the vast majority are, to make sure our business leaders can invest in growth and development of our economy here. But the second thing is just a cultural issue. And I talk about this a lot, and some people think culture is a fluffy term. But we have a very anti-business attitude, and I blame the governor, right? Because he's the chief executive of the state, And I think our state employees are generally good people, but they're poorly led. And I ask people the following question. If there are, you know, 6 or 10 or 12,000 employees in the Department of Environmental Protection, and we ask every one of them, why are you here? What is your mission? I say, not one of them would answer the question that says, I am here to create, help business leaders create jobs and prosperity for Pennsylvanians while I am safeguarding the environment. I bet not one of them would give that answer. And that goes to their mindsets, and their mindsets are not to enable business leaders to be successful while protecting our environment, but precluding them from being successful. So time to permitting and culture are the two things much more powerful than any single regulation, by the way. Those would be the two things that would be my priority to get the government off the back of our job creators.
Okay. Well, speaking of regulations, we've become aware recently in this area of a decrease in the trucking industry in our state and country because of the requirement of mandatory ELDs or electronic logging devices that are really discouraging our truckers. Many are leaving the business. And we know that that's going to bring higher prices to consumers, less safety on our roads, fewer businesses in Pennsylvania. What will you do to stand with our truckers?
Yes. First of all, I will stand with our truckers. I've spoken to a lot of them over the last 15 months. These folks are committed Pennsylvanians who are working hard to support their families, and they deserve our support. But here's what I can do and what I can't do. I don't think I can overturn ELD. It's a federal regulation, right? But what truckers tell me they're most concerned about is how many miles they can drive per day. That's how they make money. How many miles they can put in per day, and ELD obviously limits that. But I'll tell you what I can do to enhance it, and that is fix our roads and our bridges. I cannot tell you, Jane, I've been 75,000 miles in my car in the last 15 months. You know how much time I've lost because of slowed down construction projects on Interstate 78, on Interstate 81, and I see trucks miles long in those slowdowns. So I think the most important thing I can do that's in my control for our truckers is fix our roads and bridges, expand the number of lanes so that they can drive many more miles, even with ELD, than they are today in Pennsylvania. I'd love to be able to overturn ELD. I don't think as a governor I'm going to be able to do that, although I would fight as hard as I could to do it. I want to fix our roads so they can drive more miles in less time than what they're doing today.
Okay. Well, this is a question down your expertise here. What are you hoping to accomplish in the field of health care options for Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so first of all, Jane, I have to tell you I've spent 25 years in the healthcare industry. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, working with some of the most respected healthcare organizations in the world, our large provider systems, our large health insurers, and I've been fighting for the last 7 or 8 years, just prior to leaving my job when I ran for governor, fighting against Obamacare. So this is Obamacare has been a disaster for Pennsylvania. I just want to give you a couple statistics. Healthcare premiums have doubled in the last 3 years under Tom Wolf in the individual market. Deductibles for a family in Pennsylvania in the Obamacare exchanges are now averaging over $6,000 a year. And choices of doctors and hospitals and health plans have been reduced. So this is on the exact opposite of what we were promised, and it's disgraceful. With that said, what would I do? I already alluded to one of these, which is Medicaid. We have to get out from underneath the shackles of federal government regulations and design a Medicaid system that meets the needs of Pennsylvanians. We can do that with a block grant or a waiver. We already have our waiver composed, and we would submit it to the federal government the day after I were inaugurated. So I think that's important. But a couple of other things. We need to put the consumer back at the center of healthcare. And while I am against these extraordinarily high deductibles, I do believe the consumer should have some skin in the game when they go buy healthcare services. But they should have transparent information about price and about outcomes and quality, and the healthcare system is not delivering that today. I would require that. And the reason, Jane, is I know you live up in Venango County, but no matter where you go in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it could be Oil City up there, there is a 300% price difference between one provider and another in almost every market in Pennsylvania for a lab test, for an X-ray, for an MRI, for an ambulatory surgery. Literally, you could be paying $10 someplace and $30 someplace else, or $500 one place and $1,500 someplace else. So I think giving the consumer real information about the best deals and best values they can get is important. And then I would put a big focus on wellness and healthy behaviors because, you know, Jane, I don't think anyone wants to be sick, but part of our challenge in America and in Pennsylvania is we're engaging in some behaviors from a nutrition and exercise perspective that, you know, it lead to the deterioration of our health. So I think we can do a lot to encourage healthy behaviors, make people healthier, and therefore lower our costs. So those would be the two or three things I would do. I'll tell you what I won't do is impose more mandates on Pennsylvanians to buy healthcare products they don't need, don't want, and can't afford. We need to roll that back.
Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit here. You're talking to people in the sports area in the way of hunting, and how do you support the Second Amendment? And feel free to share any comments you might have on keeping our schools safe that's and secure in light of the current news that we're hearing these days.
Yeah. I always start, Jane, when someone asks me this, with Article 1, Section 21 of our Constitution here in Pennsylvania, which says the right to bear arms in defense of oneself or in defense of the state shall not be questioned. And I support that article and that section of our Constitution. But we do have to address school safety. And there are three or four things that we've talked about that would comprise our plan. One is, I think this is principally an issue of being able to screen for, diagnose, and treat mental illness. That's number one. Two, if someone is determined to be mentally ill, of course, in that circumstance, we need to restrict their access to dangerous firearms. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Three, I would require every school system, there's about 500 of them, school districts in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to ensure that they have a security plan that meets the threats and the needs of that individual school district. My opponents are saying they would impose what I call a one-size-fits-all answer. They'd require every school to have a police guard, or they'd require teachers to carry weapons, concealed weapons. I'm not in that camp. I believe my role as governor should be to ensure that every school district has a security plan that's of high integrity, but it shouldn't be a standardized one because every school district faces different threats. I've been in inner city Philadelphia. They have metal detectors. They have armed guards already. Not every rural school district, not every suburban school district, not even every urban school district needs that, or if they did it, it wouldn't address all the threats that they face. And by the way, these kids face a lot more threats than someone walking in with a rifle and shooting. How about if someone drives a truck through the front window of a school? That's a threat. Mm-hmm. How about someone brings in a pressure cooker with nails in it and explodes it like they did at the Boston Marathon? That's a threat. Mm-hmm. So this is really about hardening our schools and making sure that they address the threats that are proximate to their own. I will not impose a one-size-fits-all answer. And then lastly, it's really about making sure our law enforcement system have the resources they need to take the wonderful information that they had in this case, if we're talking about Parkland, Florida, mm-hmm. and use it to derive the insights to prevent it from happening. I know it's 2020 hindsight, but when you look at all of the information about this kid that was available, he got expelled, he lost his parents, he was a wayward child, he was isolated. The cops came to his house 30-plus times. He posted on Facebook that he wanted to be known as a school shooter. My goodness. Again, I don't want to criticize our law enforcement officers, but we need to give them whatever resources they need to use this data to intervene and prevent these things from happening. So those are the four things I would do.
Tied into that is a safety issue, too, that many are worried about, and that is, what would your plans be regarding sanctuary cities in Pennsylvania?
Yes, and Jane, this is a very troubling topic for three big reasons. And first of all, I am staunchly against any sanctuary city. Any sanctuary city, that is as opposed to Governor Wolf, who is permitting them to exist in Pennsylvania today. But let me tell you why I object to them. First of all, they have been proven to be dangerous. Okay, they are dangerous. These criminal, illegal immigrants who are released are committing crimes, felonies, dangerous ones, right? Bodily harm, rape in Philadelphia. So they're dangerous. That's a big issue. Number two, how can we have a sworn officer of the law, known as a mayor, intentionally obstructing the law? Look at this mayor out in Oakland, California. My goodness, she did everything she could to obstruct our immigration and customs official from going after criminal, illegal immigrants. That person should be arrested. So that's the second reason it bothers me. But the one that burns most Pennsylvanians most is the fact that if you think about what happens in sanctuary cities, criminal, illegal immigrants get preferences from the law that a citizen of Pennsylvania would not. Mm-hmm. It's completely upside down. We need to end sanctuary cities, certainly in Pennsylvania, but I would say across the country as well. That's where I stand on sanctuary cities.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll find out if you talk to very many Tea Party Patriot people that we have a very strong Christian worldview, and social issues are important to us. Religious freedom is under fire today. And just this month, another business in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, was forced out of business because of their religious beliefs. Are you in support of bills like SB 1307 and similar bills that go against religious exemption? And if so, why?
Absolutely not. And I think I know what you're talking about. I think it was a bridal shop or a bridal-related shop in Bloomsburg. I'm very familiar with that. And the poor couple had a thriving business before they got tangled up in this whole mess. You know, my opponent, Senator Wagner, is a co-sponsor of that Senate bill that you referred to, 1307, which is also known as the Bassman bill. Said on several occasions, he does not understand the objections that people of faith have to that. Well, I do. I absolutely do. And I'll be the last one to discriminate against anyone. But this is not an issue of discrimination, Jane. It's an issue of three things that I feel very strongly about: the privacy of our children, the security of our children, and religious freedom for all Pennsylvanians. Now, the interesting part about that bill, Jane, I don't know if you know it, but Senator Scavello introduced an amendment that would address a good part of those three. It would not force schools to have bathrooms and locker rooms based on gender identity. It would not force them to do that. And it would grant exemptions for religious conscience. Senator Wagner was the vote that killed that amendment, right? So I'm just drawing the contrast. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just drawing the contrast. I would fight to ensure that that bill never saw the light of day. I am not discriminating against anyone, but we have to protect the safety and security of our children. I have five daughters, one of them still in high school, and we have to ensure that we protect religious freedom for all Pennsylvanians. That's why I'm against SB 1307 in its current form.
Okay. All right. Very good. And,
did I make myself clear on that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Thank you for that. And will your administration also work to defund Planned Parenthood?
Absolutely. So let me talk about my pro-life stance just for a second. I am a Catholic. I was an altar boy when I was young. I adhered to the tenets of the Catholic Church. I was at the birth of my five daughters. No one can observe that miracle of life and be anything other than pro-life, I'm telling you, Jane. And then a good part of my healthcare work, Jane, was in children's hospitals, working in neonatal intensive care units where every doctor, every nurse, every administrator would do whatever it took to save a 22-week-old baby. And as a society, I think this is a great aspect of the U.S. healthcare system. As a society, we will perform heroic deeds to save that life. So it, for those three reasons, it really bothers me that two doors down, I'm speaking now figuratively, we are discarding that same life at age 22 weeks. Discarding that life. So I have a very strong pro-life position. I do not believe the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act in its current form is doing its job. We still have 30,000 plus aborted babies a year. Again, just drawing a contrast with my opponent, Senator Wagner thinks that bill is doing its job. I do not. I would defund Planned Parenthood. And by the way, on that one, Jane, we have 320 federally qualified health clinics that can provide all of the health care services any woman needs in Pennsylvania. They do everything that Planned Parenthood does, excluding abortion. So being against Planned Parenthood is not being against women's health care. I can guarantee you that, not in Pennsylvania. I would defund that. I would want to make sure Senate Bill 3 was signed by me as governor. That takes it from 24 weeks back to 20 weeks. And I think we have to make investments, Jane, so that every young woman who is facing this choice understands that there are a whole bunch of alternatives well beyond abortion that can help them get through this. Counseling, adoption, support for their children, rather than choosing to abort that baby. So feel very strongly about this. And by the way, we're the only ones that have been endorsed by the pro-life coalition of Pennsylvania. Our candidacy has, no other candidacy has.
Okay. Well, Paul, I really thank you for taking time out of your busy campaign schedule here to answer these questions for us. I think we've covered a lot of ground. And would you give your website again for anyone who would want more information?
Yes, absolutely, Jane. It's www.mangoforpa, and that four is F-O-R, it's not the number four, mangoforpa.com, and you'll see we have extraordinarily detailed plans, faith and family values, restore the dream. We have an agricultural plan, so you'll see that we have put a lot of effort into talking to Pennsylvanians and reflecting back what can best meet their needs. So I hope your listeners have a chance to go and participate in our website.
All right, very good. Well, thank you again, and God bless you.
Yes, thank you, Jane. Thanks for doing this. It's a real service to the voters. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to the Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interviews with the candidates. We encourage all voters to vote. Every election is important. It is a patriot's duty to exercise this right. Thank you for taking time to be an informed voter. Please continue to check our website at www.vctpp.org for more educational resources.